This is Rupert Evershed reading my monthly article for the Hearts Advertiser. One of my enduring memories from my school days is of the walk to school every morning down a path that ran alongside an ivy-clad wall. At this time of year, the morning walk would carry with it that damp scent and autumn chill as the late sun did battle with the dew of dawn. The ivy-clad wall was silent, obscured by the busy thoughts of the day ahead and its own inherent obscurity. However, come the mid-afternoon walk back from school, the sun would have banished any lingering moisture and warmed the ivy-clad wall such that it sprang to life with the hum and buzz of 1,000 or more insects. In places, the path was narrow, and my friends and I couldn't help notice that many of the insects were wasps of the stinging variety. Throughout September and into October, we would walk hastily past this section of the wall, holding our breath, ready to run lest we became the subject of the swarming wasps' attention. But we never did, and this is because, at this time of year, something better is on offer. Ivy flowers, with their irresistible nectar and pollen. Ivy is one of the last plants to flower in the seasonal cycle, and therefore provides a welcome source of sugar for a huge array of insects, even into November. In our garden, we have an old potting shed that has, through neglect, become completely covered in ivy. We sometimes comment that the shed now needs a haircut, as the ivy bushes over the roof, completely hiding the tiled, pitched roof. At some point, we will have to renovate the shed, perhaps even take it down, but for now, it remains a characterful token of yesteryear, and with that, an incredible haven for wildlife. Approaching the mountain of ivy on a sunny autumn afternoon, and the humming of insects can be heard immediately. On closer inspection, almost every cluster of ivy flowers is occupied with bumble and honeybees, solitary bees, wasps, bluebottles and other flies. Of particular delight are four red admiral butterflies that bask in the sunlight, fluttering from flower to flower and feeding up before migrating south for the winter, or maybe perhaps opting instead to hibernate in the shed beneath the ivy. I love the natural abundance that this heap of ivy on the old shed brings. It is not just the ivy flowers that create a buzz, but later in the winter months, wood pigeons will flap and fluster amidst the ivy, feasting on the ivy berries. Come spring and summer, the wrens and robins will nest in the ivy and find food on their doorstep in the form of a multitude of creepy crawlies living in amongst the clinging tendrils. Without this untidy mop, the garden would be a lot less rich in wildlife, and so it stays for the moment. For me, it is a beacon in the midst of a tidying and sadly sterilising development all around us, in which ivy, and wasps for that matter, are often viewed with almost phobic dislike. Surveyors' reports have traditionally suggested that the presence of ivy is a potential threat to buildings, and this of course can unduly worry homebuyers. However, more recently, studies by English Heritage with the National Trust and English Nature have challenged the perception that ivy is a building destroyer, finding evidence instead that ivy on walls may actually offer a degree of weatherproofing and not be as destructive as had been presumed. Given the wealth of wildlife attracted by and accommodated by ivy in our gardens and on our buildings, we would do well to manage its spread rather than simply eradicate it. In part, the reward of doing so will be the attraction and enjoyment of otherwise absent species, such as the ivy bee, recently colonised from the continent, and the holly blue butterfly that lays its eggs on ivy in the summer. In no less part, the reward is also in the knowledge that this small consent to nature, even with its much maligned ivy and associated wasps, is one step in the right direction, away from the sterile planet predicted by Sir David Attenborough, should we, as the human race, fail to act in favour of nature. And what better way to act than in our local patches of green, our gardens, where we might just consider allowing a humble bit of ivy to remain.